this is great. We're excited for the future that we have with Matt leading us, and also for our district team. We're so grateful. We have a vision prayer within the Alliance Canada that says, "Oh God, with all our hearts we long for you. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere." Have you heard that? Seen that somewhere? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But it really is the desire to be a disciple-making movement, a disciple-making community, and that is what you do here as a local church. You make disciples. And we have those three things that we focus on: being Christ-centered, keeping Jesus at the center, making sure that he's the center of all that we do. And then secondly, to be a spirit-empowered community, people who are filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and then people who are mission-focused, who are not just focusing on what is happening here in the walls of this church, but outwardly focused on their community and also on what God is doing around the world and participating, joining God in his work in our communities and around the world. So that is what we are. So that's just sort of my blurb. I come from that. I come from our district office, but I still live in Stony Plain. So that should, our district office is in Calgary. I live in Stony Plain. I work with the churches here in this area. So that should earn me some points already with you. I'm not from Calgary. I'm from Stony Plain. I'm one of you. So my real aim today is to talk about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As we think about those three things, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused, I want to key in a little bit more today on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really is a key theme in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus teaches. He teaches a lot of the Holy Spirit. He tells us to ask, to seek, to knock, to seek God. And it says the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who do that. And then in John chapter 14, 17, Jesus' upper room discourse, his last teaching before he goes to the cross, a big chunk of that teaching is focused on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "Unless I go away, I can't send another comfort to come and be with you." And Paul talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. We're going to read a little bit of that today from Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. Very short section of Scripture. But today, really, I have one aim, and that's to remind us and encourage us to be people who are led by the Spirit of God. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Hear the word of the Lord. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share." So Paul begins this section saying those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. What he means is that we're people who are under the influence, under the control of the person of the Holy Spirit. Mary and Joseph are presented as model disciples in the Christmas story. If you remember the beginning of the gospel where the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Mary, and she responds with a, "Yes, I will." She responds with a, "I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you ask me to do." And Joseph models the same thing. The disciples are people who are led by the Spirit. They respond to the Spirit. Surely they had plans for their life. Surely they had a different dream of what their life would look like. But then God spoke to them and they responded and said, "Yeah, go ahead and mess up our lives. Mess up our plans, our dreams. We'll respond to the leading of your Spirit." The disciples are told to go to Jerusalem and wait. Jesus, after his resurrection, appears to his disciples. And he tells them to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And the disciples go to Jerusalem. I'm sure they want to run out and tell the world that they had seen the risen Christ. But he says, "No, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait." And they wait in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. And the church goes out in mission, begins to form community, and then go out in mission. The message, disciples are people who are led by the Spirit. They don't do things in their own power or their own strength. They don't follow their own agenda. They actually follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes in Galatians, I think you're in Galatians right now, he writes in Galatians chapter 5, "Keep in step with the Spirit.
Stay in step with the Spirit. Don't follow the desire of your sinful nature. Rather, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That means that he's not an instrument in our hands. We're instruments in his hands. We don't get to control him, and in order to fulfill our dreams, we actually are instruments in his hands to fulfill the dreams of God for our lives and for the people around us, for the world around us. We don't control him. He doesn't respond to us per se. Rather, we're the ones who are called to respond to him. We're being moved and influenced and prompted and led by the Spirit day in and day out. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to lead the people of God. It's our job to respond to him. When my youngest daughter got married a few years ago, she decided that I needed to learn how to ballroom dance. Because for the father-daughter dance, she didn't just want the standard dance, you know, the standard dad dance where you go out and stand in the middle of the dance floor with your daughter and you just kind of sway back and forth. You pretend to dance or to know how to dance. She said, "I don't want that, Dad. I want to do a proper foxtrot ballroom dance." I'm like, there's one problem. I don't know how to do that. I said to her, dear, you're going to have to teach me how to do it. She said, "Oh, no, that's not the way it works." She was taking ballroom dancing lessons at the time, because she also put this same strange expectation on her soon-to-be husband that he needed to do a ballroom dance with her too. So I'm like, okay, how is this going to work? She's like, "You're going to have to learn how to do it, and then you're going to have to lead me. That's the way it works. You lead and I follow." I was like, okay. I wasn't too excited about it, but where do you go when you need to learn quickly? You go to YouTube. So I went to YouTube and I started to watch some tutorial videos on the foxtrot, and so there I was in my kitchen over breakfast making coffee doing the foxtrot with Wendy looking on, like laughing at me, and I'm in the living room and I'm everywhere I am. I've got a few weeks to learn how to do the foxtrot and then to do that dance with my daughter. So I'm practicing, and then the very first time we get together, Caitlin and I, in our backyard, because we didn't have a space big enough in our house, so our neighbors are watching me. Talk about pressure. And we had to do the foxtrot together. And you know what? When I led and she followed, it actually worked. But when I faltered, when I didn't know what I was doing and she tried to take the lead, it became this a little bit of an ugly tug of war between the two of us, and we started stepping on each other's feet, and it just looked like a mess. But when she actually let me lead and I led well, it was this beautiful dance. And I wish I had a video. No, actually, I don't want to show you a video, but it actually looked like something on the wedding day. And my friend said to me, I didn't know you knew how to do that. And I said, I didn't until about 3 weeks ago. But it actually looked pretty good. And if you think about the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit, I want you to keep this image of a dance in mind, and I want you to remember the words of my daughter to me. If this is going to work, I need you to lead me. I need you to lead me. If we're really going to experience all that God has for us, then we're going to have to learn how to give up the lead and let him lead us. We're going to have to relinquish control. Anyone else here love to control things? I don't have an addiction with control. According to me, Wendy says I do, but I don't, honestly. No, we all do, right? And we're going to have to allow him to influence our steps. And we might even at times need to confess to him, "I might resist you from time to time. And I might even pull in the other direction, but Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me in this dance of faith. I need you to lead me." And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. And the main argument in Romans chapter 8 is that the Holy Spirit is the game changer in our relationship with God. There are probably hundreds of things that the Holy Spirit does, but if you could reduce it to this one thing, it would be that the Holy Spirit makes God real to you. The Holy Spirit helps you to experience and encounter God. If you want to experience more of God in your life, it's through the work of the Holy Spirit. You may be here this morning and you may say, I want more in my life. I know there's something missing. I've been a follower of Jesus. I've attended church, but I know there's more. It's through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. It's not going to be through you trying harder. It's going to be through the work of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know him more, if you want to experience more of his power, If you want to know more of his love, if you want to experience more freedom in your life from sin, it's through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to grow deeper. There's no other way to know him more, become inwardly transformed or involved in his mission in this world. Perhaps some of you are saying, you know what, I want to be more engaged in the mission of Jesus, and I'm not engaged right now. It's through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is the keystone. The reality is, I think for many Christians, is that the Holy Spirit is an afterthought. The Holy Spirit is often forgotten, and that's what prompted Francis Chan, who's author and pastor, to write his book, Forgotten God, on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. For some, the Trinity is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. And as important as the Bible is, I love to read this, I love to read the Scripture, but without the person and work of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make any sense. We don't get it. We need the person and work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 7, Paul wrote about the dilemma of the person who believes in Jesus or has some sense of, but is struggling with sin. He writes in verse 15, I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, but what I hate, I do. Then later on, he writes, for I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do. This I keep doing. Who can't understand that struggle? All of us have been there. We didn't want to explode in anger, but we did. We didn't want to visit that internet site, but we did. We didn't want to. You fill in the blank, but we did. He's talking about this internal struggle that we face, this war that's being waged in our souls, this gap between knowing what is good and then how we actually live our lives. I know what I should do, but I don't have the power to carry it out. And then he asks this question, who will rescue me from this body of sin and death? And he answers it in the same breath, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through the inner work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus rescues us and he helps us to live differently. We've oftentimes reduced the gospel to being reconciled with God and then having a hope of heaven. And what it looks like from here, having been rescued from sin and death, to heaven is actually just hanging on, white-knuckling it all the way to heaven with this hope that one day we'll finally experience freedom, we'll finally know God's love. But it's through the person and work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus actually rescues us and does this work of God in our lives, helps us to experience all that God has for us in increasing measure. Being led by the Spirit means that we give in to his influence on our lives so that we are profoundly shaped as the children of God. We become his children. We are his children, but in increasing measure, experientially, we begin to know what it means to be a child of God. We're all being led by something, right? Let's face it. All of us are led by something. And what leads us really shapes us. If you're led by your career, you'll become a workaholic and you'll end up tired all the time. If you're led by money, you become greedy, not able to be generous. We're led by the desire to please others, we become insecure. Led by alcohol and drugs, we become wasted. Led by power, we become controlling and domineering and manipulating. Led by religion, we become unworthy, never able to quite please God. What leads us, shapes our inner lives, shapes the way that we live our lives. And when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we actually are shaped into the children of God who experience an abundant life. What happens to the person who's led by the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at this text. The Spirit leads us to know that we're his children. Actually, experientially leads us to know that we're his children. When we're led by the Spirit, we are led to an inner witness of the Spirit with our spirit, that we are loved children. The Spirit you received, Paul writes, doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. The Holy Spirit lets us know that we're loved children. Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul has written that the Holy Spirit has poured the love of God out into our hearts. God has done that. God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is a real experience for the follower of Jesus. When you step into a relationship with God through Christ, the job of the Holy Spirit is to actually let you know that you're loved. You know the love of the Father. I lived for years knowing intellectually that God loves me, but knowing this in present day, moment by moment, was not a reality for me. I was born in South Africa, in Cape Town. under apartheid. I was, in their system, a person of mixed race. That meant that I had second-class status under the system of apartheid, if you know what that means. If you know the history of South Africa, you'll know that certain people, because of their skin color, were considered more privileged than others, others not so privileged. I was one of the unprivileged ones. And for all of my life, I felt like an unwanted outsider. For all of my life, I felt like I didn't belong, like I was a second-class citizen. Even when we moved to Vancouver, which was a very multicultural society, even back then, in 1974, I still felt like a second-class citizen. And then when I became a follower of Jesus, gave my life to Christ, I still felt like I was on the outside looking in. I felt like other people were on the in. And there I was on the outside, standing on the outside, looking in to a party or something that was going on. I wasn't quite welcome as others. Some have called what I was exhibiting an orphan spirit. People who are adopted into the family of God, but still feel like there's something lacking. Not secure in the Father's love. Feeling like I don't belong with Him. Maybe the words we hear most often are, I'm not good enough. I'm shameful. I'm unworthy. I have to try harder. I'm unlovable. Our sense of being comes out of what we do, what we have, what we've achieved, rather than who we are as the children of God. And so we do things like cling to our positions, and we find security in material things, and we want to prove ourselves, and we protect our reputation, and we always need to be right. We have this idea that the more we serve, the more lovable we are. As long as we accept the effects of this orphan mentality or spirit, we will live insecure and angry and anxious and fearful lives, even though we may sincerely be followers of Jesus. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we are led into this experience of being loved and wanted children. I was listening to a testimony of someone a little while back. They had grown up in the church. Father was the pastor of the church. It was an abusive home. It was an abusive church. By the time they were 12, they had walked away. They were living in BC, and they had gone into a life of gangs and drugs. And one day in their 30s, they were invited to a church like this. And they were invited to a DVBS. I see you're having a DVBS here. They were invited to a sort of an end party where all the parents were welcomed and they brought their kids. And they walked into the church and they sat down. Now for the first time, it had been like 20 years since they had been in a church. And they sat and they listened, and nothing happened that day in church. But they went home that night and they sat in their basement, in a dark basement, in a depressed state. And he said, I heard this voice, not externally, but internally. My son, I've always loved you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. And they gave their life to Christ. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit bears witness with our spirit about. We are loved and we are wanted children, despite what may have happened to us or what we may have done. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are loved, wanted children of God. When we follow the leading of the Spirit, that grows in increasing measure in our lives. I can tell you that you're loved by God. You can read it in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit has to bear witness with your spirit that you are indeed a child of God. The Apostle Paul writes, you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. When the Spirit of God comes into your heart, He didn't make you a slave to fear. What did the Spirit do? He made you a child of God. He made you a child of God. It didn't happen because you tried harder. It didn't happen because you went to church. It didn't happen because you became more religious. It came about as a result of the Spirit coming into your life. You became a child of God by faith. And the Spirit confirms that we're His sons and confirms that we're His daughters. And the word son is not gender specific. F.F. Bruce tells us that it was actually an important term to use in that day. He writes, in the Roman world of the first century AD, an adopted son was a son deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was no whit inferior in status to a son born in the ordinary course of nature, son born of the father, and might well enjoy the father's affection more fully and reproduce the father's character more worthily. Powerful language for us because it lets us know that we have been intentionally and deliberately chosen by God to perpetuate his name and inherit his kingdom. We're not outsiders. We are deliberately chosen to be part of the family of God. And it's important, I think, particularly when we fall, when we falter, when we sin, when we walk away, when we stumble, when we fight even with God. It's important to hear the voice of the Spirit in our lives. Because the enemy will remind you that you're worthless when you fall. He'll cause you to doubt that you're part of the family of God. But the Spirit will remind you that even though you may have temporarily been overcome by sin, that doesn't change your status as an adopted child of God. You are loved. Even when you make a mess of your life, you are loved. The Spirit reminds you of that. The Spirit proclaims the same words over your life today, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, regardless of the mess that you've made. The Spirit proclaims these words: "You are my son. You're my daughter, and with you I'm well pleased." This is what the Spirit is saying to you today. Despite all of the other voices that may be coming at you, the Spirit is saying, "You're my son. You're my daughter. Will you receive that?" Secondly, the Spirit leads us to love God back as Father. And by him we cry, "Abba, Father." By him we cry, "Abba, Father." Abba is an Aramaic word for papa. It's like a very familiar word. It's an intimate word that a child would use with father. In my household, we have sort of, our kids have nicknames for us. They call Wendy Besta. Besta means, it's Norwegian. Besta Moore is grandma. And so they just call her Besta. And my boys call me Daddy-O or Papa, particularly when they want something. Like, it's a term of endearment. It's appropriate for them to call me that. I would not suggest that you call me that or you call Wendy Besta. But because they have this intimate relationship with me, they feel very comfortable, very safe calling us those names. And that's the way it is with the Father, this intimate name given to us to call God, Abba. The Spirit doesn't lead us to know God logically as Father. It's not a truth that we intellectually affirm, although we can intellectually affirm it. It's not something that we just recite from a creed. It's actually something that's emotional. It's something that's within our hearts. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're loved by God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we can indeed have a relationship with God. And then this cry comes out of our hearts. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. By him we cry, Abba, Father. We cry. Cry is an emotional word. We cry, Abba, Father. We don't just stand there in church and affirm it in a creed. Sometimes that's good. I'm not suggesting it's a bad thing. But we actually have some kind of experience with the Holy Spirit where our hearts are moved to cry out, "Oh, Daddy. Abba, Father." This isn't something that's formal. It's actually something that's informal. It's something that's relational. Some of us have a hard time calling God Daddy. Try it in prayer next time. See how comfortable that feels. Daddy. I remember praying with someone who had a very intimate relationship with God, and this is when I didn't have that same sort of sense in my life, and they started to pray, and they said, "Hey, Dad." And I was like, "What? Dad? Yeah, you're right. It is Dad. It is Dad. Father's good. Dad, it's intimate. And it's good." Some of us have a wound that we have from our own fathers, and we have a hard time calling God Father. Maybe we've experienced abuse or controlling fathers or fathers who have withheld their love and their affection from us. And so there's this disconnect in a relationship with God. And we see God more as distant and formal. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit actually wants to bring healing into your life so that you can experience God as your Father. There are those of us who simply don't know that cry, Abba, because while we've had the Spirit of God in our lives, and we may not even have any kind of Father, we just have not been led by the Spirit. We've been led by other things rather than by Him. If we don't see God as Abba, we live these defensive lives, suspicious lives, fearful lives toward God. We don't believe that He wants the best for us. We don't want to trust Him. We don't want to submit to Him. We don't want to live in obedience to Him. We feel threatened or angry or suspicious or cynical when we think of being obedient to Him. We would rather trust ourselves than trust Him. And when we do comply, maybe we do it begrudgingly, or we do it out of fear of punishment. We comply externally, but internally, we're unsure of Him. When we're led by the Spirit, we're actually led in love. In love to God. Even when we don't understand. Even when we don't understand everything that's going on, we trust Him. We trust that He has our good. Trust that He's leading us. And so when we obey Him, we do it out of love, not out of fear, not out of suspicion. We don't resist Him. We actually obey Him in love, believing that our Father, our Dad, actually has our good in mind. We do things like give generously out of love. Even when it hurts, we forgive those who have hurt us. Because we love Him. We love the people that He loves. We don't hold on to grudges. We choose to love our enemies out of love for God. When we're led by the Spirit, He actually breaks the power of fear in our lives. And He leads us to know God as God. And He helps us to live in trust of Abba. Not as a slave that lives in fear, but a slave that lives, or a person that lives. So He leads us to know the love of God. He leads us to love God back. And then the Spirit leads us toward our inheritance. That's the last thing I want to point out. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. If we are God's children, then we're heirs of God because we've been joined together with Jesus. You've been joined together with Christ. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Everything that's true of Jesus is going to be true for you. Hebrews has this great picture of Jesus where He's ascended and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And all of the enemies, all of our enemies, are being brought under the feet of Jesus. And that's true for you as well. All of your enemies are being brought under your feet. Power of sin, death, and hell are actually under your feet in Christ. You know that? What is true of Jesus is true for you. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says to His disciples, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God hasn't withheld anything from His people. Everything that He has, He's given to us in Jesus. It's not something that's coming to us in the future. It's something that can be a present-day reality that will be even more realized, more fully realized in heaven." John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Present-day reality. Fullness of life in Christ. Corinthians chapter 1:22 tells us that God has set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. God's given us the Spirit to help us know that there's actually more waiting for us. And He writes again in Ephesians chapter 1:13-14, "When you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." Jesus has secured an inheritance for us that's simply mind-blowing. We don't have it all yet. But as the children of God, we have an inheritance waiting for us, and the Spirit's been given as a deposit so that we can begin to experience the abundance of life that God has for us now in this present moment. What God has in mind for us is just amazing. And the Spirit has been given to help lead us into that future. Our inheritance is everything that God has designed for us, everything that God has destined for us at creation, but was forfeited at the fall. And we're joined by Jesus through faith. The Spirit gives us everything that belongs to Him. If we're led by the Spirit, we are being led to experience the future now in many ways and led into this beautiful future reality with God right into eternity. With Jesus, there is always more. Regardless of what you have right now, there is more for you. You need to know that. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Is there more? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. There's always more. There's always more with Him. There's more of God's love, more of God's life, more of God's freedom. Paul writes in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Who needs more of that in their lives? Is joy? Who needs more of that? Is peace? Who needs more of that? Patience? Lewis needs more of that. Just kidding. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who are led by the Spirit receive these in increasing measure. There's more for you right into eternity. When you are led by the Holy Spirit, there's always more for you. More grace, more freedom, more life. There's always more right into eternity. Amen? There is an abundance of life for the follower of Christ that begins from the moment you receive Christ. You begin to receive abundant life in Christ. And you can experience abundant life in increasing measure right into eternity. Do you want more? Being led by the Spirit means that you get more. You get more. We oftentimes we think that we get less because we have to actually give up control. But in giving up control, we actually get more of what our hearts long for. Right? We get more. So how can we be led by the Spirit? So as we close our time together, first of all, seek Him. Let me suggest that we seek Him. Seek Him daily. Seek Him through prayer. Seek Him through the reading of the Word. Seek Him through community in your small group. Seek Him through worship. When we come together in worship, be in a posture of seeking. Holy Spirit, I want more of You. I want you to take control of my life. There are parts of my life perhaps that I need to give up control of because I've been hanging on to control. I want to give up more. Show me how I can even do that because I've been controlling that thing for so long. Help me know how to do it. Seek Him. Seek Him through seasons of prayer. Times of the year that the church has set aside, Advent and Lent, times like that. But there are other times throughout the year where you just may want to seek Him and say, I'm going to take some time in this next month, over this the next number of weeks to set aside times every day just to seek the Spirit. I want more. I'm going to seek Him. And then surrender to Him. Turn away from sin. Turn away from living in your own strength. Surrender to Him. Ask Him to fill you. Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be controlled by this other substance. Don't self-medicate. Rather, surrender to the Holy Spirit if you want life. If you want life, surrender to the Holy Spirit. So turn away from those things that you've been using to prop yourself up. Turn away from those things that you've been trying to find life in, but there is no life in those things. And instead, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let Him produce life in you. And then thirdly, submit to Him. Live in obedience to Him. As you encounter God through Him, submit to Him. Submit to His ways. Submit to the teaching of Jesus. Submit to Scripture. Submit to the promptings and the whispers of the Spirit of God. Ask Him to speak to you, and then follow Him in obedience, particularly as you've tested it against the Word of God and aligns with the Word of God. And just follow Him in obedience, the way that Mary and Joseph did, the way that the early church did, the way that the Apostle Paul did. Follow Him in obedience. Submit to Him. Seek Him. Surrender Him to Him. Submit to Him. That's what it means to be led by Him. And as you're led by Him, more and more you'll come to know what it means to be a child of the Father. You are children of God if you've invited Christ into your life. But more and more to experience what it means to be a child of God as we're led by the Spirit. So we're going to close our time together.
I don't know if I could just stand with me as we close, just to reflect. There are people after the service who are willing to pray with you, but I want to give every person an opportunity just to reflect. And if, are you closing in a song? Would you come up and play softly while we just take some time to listen? Let's bow our heads together. I was reading this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 18. It's that, or sorry, 1 Kings 19. It's the text where Elijah goes to God to meet him on the Mount of Horeb. And there's an earthquake. There's a wind. God wasn't met. God didn't reveal himself through those. And he didn't reveal himself through those because that was the normal way that people would encounter God. But then there's this silence, this deafening silence. And Elijah heard God through that. So sometimes God meets us in these unexpected ways, in ways that we may not even expect to meet. I just want to invite you to posture yourself in a way that will meet God this morning, even if it's not in a way that you might expect to be. Let's just lean on him and operate. So I invite you this morning, if you want more, just to turn your hands up like this and say, I want to surrender to you again, Holy Spirit. I want to be led by you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you that we just don't have to walk through this life on our own. We don't have to conjure up our own experience with you. We don't have to try. To just talk to you, to you. So, again, we turn away from those things that we've been looking for life in. Things like work, approval of others, money, power, all these things that we think will produce life in us. Dead ends, and so we turn away from those things. We turn away from our sin, our self, our issues. Surrender to you. I pray for the church here. Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you would come. You would continue to fill people of this church. Help them to experience what the Lord wants to do. Child of God, children. I think of those in the community around them who need this. People who are wandering, people who are estranged. Oh God, through this church, that you flow up into this community. Lives will be transformed. People drawn into relationship. And experience the abundance of life for all of us. Through the work of your Spirit. So bless them.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, Your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine.
I have a couple announcements. I'll do the benediction. We'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Graham and Wendy, your gift to us. Thank you for coming. Some of you might have noticed that we have a new interior decorator. Different places. If you need help, we can help you.
Just not this week.
Summer Jam, our children's program, starts tomorrow. In preparation for this, we need help right after the service to start stacking the chairs here inside the sanctuary, and then the tables there and the chairs stacked there as well. So if you'll kind of help us at the end of the service, that would be wonderful. We also have a sign up at the Welcome Center for anyone who'd like to bring or donate cookies or squares. Graham mentioned this, on our Friday night, we invite the kids back with their families, and so we provide squares and cookies and everything else for that. So if you'd like to be part of that, you can sign that up at the Welcome Center. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that the Spirit has come, and he asks us to surrender. And this is what is going to work best in all of our lives. Amen.
Yeah, would you please stand while we close? And I just want to say there's going to be a bit of cacophony here with the way we're closing service and getting prepared for VBS. So if you just feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you in a way that you need to get quiet, I just encourage you, don't get lost in the noise and the shuffle. Just go find a quiet place and somebody to get quiet with you if you need to pray. Yeah, just don't leave it. From the ends of the earth.
From the ends of the earth.
From the depths of the sea.
From the depths of the sea.
From the heights of the heavens.
From the heights of the heavens.
Your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak.
From the hearts of the weak.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the shouts of the strong.
From the lips of all people.
From the lips of all people.
This song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages. You will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High. Throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, Most High. Exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, Most High. Be magnified, be magnified, be magnified.